Good morning. Welcome to West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are also affectionately known as WUF. Let us stand as you are able, and we're going to sing our opening hymn, I'm Going to Lift My Sister Up. And I know it may be new for some of you, so I invite you to join us when you feel ready.
Ready.
I'm gonna lift my sister up. She is not heavy. I'm gonna lift my sister up. She is not heavy. I'm gonna lift my sister up. She is not heavy. If I don't lift her up, if I don't lift her up, if I don't lift her up, I will fall down.
Brother.
I'm gonna lift my brother up. He is not heavy. I'm gonna lift my brother up. He is not heavy. I'm gonna lift my brother up. He is not heavy. If I don't lift him up, if I
I'm gonna lift my people up. They are not heavy. I'm gonna lift my people up. They are not heavy. I'm gonna lift my people up. They are not heavy. If I don't lift them up, if I
That was wonderful. Thank you. My name is Scott Winters, and my pronouns are he and him. And it is my privilege to serve as your lay leader this morning for this beloved congregation. I want to welcome each of you, whether you are here in person or watching online. You are welcome here, regardless of how you are feeling today. If you're feeling joyful for some new beginnings in your life, or if you're grieving the loss of someone close. You are welcome, regardless of how many revolutions you've made around the sun, your abilities, the color of your skin, your culture, and where you were born. You are welcome here. Regardless of whom you love and how you identify your gender, if you do, we affirm your spiritual practices, or if you have none. We are so grateful that we can share this time together in this beloved community of conscience and compassion. And I want to especially welcome those of you who are new and visiting today, both here in person and virtually. We are so glad that you've come to join us. This week's announcements are attached to that email as well, so you can learn what's happening in our community. You can also visit woof.net, that's W-H-U-U-F.net, to learn more about our congregation. And our speakers today. We are so happy to have folks from our own Woof community speaking today. Gary Joquin, Alyssa Joquin, Spencer Ehrman, Sue Bowdy, and Tia Hart. Thank you for all the work that you've put together for this service today. They've participated in Chalice Circles and are looking forward to sharing about their experience with you. Our Chalice Circles are a meaningful and wonderful way to connect more deeply with other woofers and also with ourselves. And as Alyssa lights our chalice this morning, I'd like to share some words from Fulgens Naji Jamana. When strangers meet, endless possibilities emerge. New experiences, new ways of understanding, and new ways of taking action. When strangers meet, each pays special attention to the other. Each is called to serve something larger than the self. Today, this morning, let's light this chalice for openness, for willingness to grow, for rich curiosity, and for common purpose. Let us say our opening affirmation together. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful. Let us open our minds to learn what is true. Let us open our hearts to love one another. Spencer will now share our opening reading.
Good morning. This is from Powell Davies. None of our private worlds is big enough for us to live a wholesome life in. We need the wider world of joy and wonder, of purpose and venture, of toil and tears. What are we, any of us, but strangers and sojourners forlornly wandering through the nighttime until we draw together and find the meaning of our lives in one another? Dissolving our fears in each other's courage, making music together and lighting torches to guide us through the dark. We belong together. Love is what we need, to love and be loved. Let our hearts be open, and what we would receive from others, let us give. For what is given still remains to bless the giver when the gift is love.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Gary Joquin. I have no personal pronoun preference. The focus of this morning's service is Chalice Circle, a fascinating WOOF program in which I've participated for 3 years, the last year of which I've served as one of its facilitators. Chalice Circle small groups enable us to reflect upon our monthly Sunday service themes and to go deeper. Several Chalice Circle groups of 5 to 10 participants apiece are formed twice a year. Each group meets for 90 minutes to 2 hours per session, twice per month for 4 or 5 months. Participants and facilitators alike are encouraged to sign up and express their preferences for meeting day, time, and venue, the latter being whether or not they wish to meet in person or on Zoom. After the registration period has closed, Reverend Tracy strikes a balance among all of the needs expressed and forms groups. The first session of each Chalice Circle is devoted to participants introducing themselves to each other and reaching consensus upon the covenant of right relations that will guide how we interact with each other. Invariably, to meet everyone's needs, we make adjustments to our covenant, a work-in-progress living document. Typically, we agree upon confidentiality. What happens in Chalice Circle stays in Chalice Circle, but don't get your hopes up. It's not Las Vegas. We also commit to practice deep listening. Whenever someone speaks, they have the floor. We do not interrupt or interject, except for those rare instances in which we need an explanation of an unfamiliar term that enables us to fully understand what's just been spoken. Overall, the idea is to develop the ability to be totally in the moment, to not be thinking about what we're going to say next, and be totally present to the person speaking. I was skeptical at first, but this quieting of the mind and the safe space that it creates in which one can truly be heard can be profound. For each session, Reverend Tracy creates a guide that bears some resemblance to a Sunday order of service. Using this guide, we conduct each session as follows. We begin with opening words, typically a reading. Each participant checks in. It's a marvelous way to get to know each other. After the last person has checked in, we take turns reading quotes focused on the current Sunday service theme of the month. The facilitator then reads three or four questions pertaining to that monthly theme. We enter into a three-minute period of silence to contemplate the questions. We then in turn share our thoughts about one or more of the questions posed. There is no need to address all of them, just the questions with which we have the most synergy. After everyone has had an opportunity to speak, we take a few minutes to comment upon and to express gratitude for what was most meaningful to us during our time together. We even take time to share our thoughts about anything that did not go as well as it could have and suggest improvements. Sometimes these comments feed back into changes to our covenant. Finally, we end our time together with closing words. Through the course of each Chalice Circle group, we explore and decide upon a service project, often with a social justice focus. For example, last year we donated essential items to Human Solutions, an emergency shelter with whom one of our Chalice Circle members, Tanya Parsons, was closely affiliated. This year, we decided to host this summer service to encourage more members to participate in Chalice Circles. This morning, you will hear testimonials from five members of my Chalice Circle, including me. I hope that our testimonials will give you a glimpse into how incredibly meaningful Chalice Circles can be, and that ultimately, you'll be inspired to register for our fall program.
morning again. I'm Spencer Ehrman. My pronouns are he and him. Jean Vanier was a Canadian Catholic philosopher and theologian. He wrote, "One of the marvelous things about community is that it enables us to welcome and help people in a way we couldn't as individuals. When we pool our strength and share the work and responsibility, we can welcome many people, even those in deep distress, and perhaps help find them self-confidence and inner healing." When I joined WOOF in the winter of 2021, after being lured by Karen Stratton, little did I know that we were about to shut down, and the foundational reason for my joining to be in community was about to be closed to me. Tracy Springberry had just been installed, and two of my closest UU friends, ministers both, had attended. One even left his robes at WOOF, and it would be a year until I could return them to him. I was so hungry to connect with people, and suddenly the buffet was closed. But wait. Along comes an email from Tracy about something called a chalice circle. Well, it only took a quick text with Karen to confirm that they were like the small groups I'd been in for years at Elliott Institute camps. So I signed up. What a great decision. Here were biweekly Zoom get-togethers facilitated by an experienced and gentle leader, complete with guides, readings, and fascinating discussion prompts, all tied to the Sunday themes back at our then virtual fellowship. This was from our first session, listening. The questions: describe a time when you were listened to deeply, when it really mattered. Who listened? Why did it matter? What happened? Describe a time when you listened deeply to someone when it mattered. Who were you listening to? Why did it matter? What happened? How cool was that? No one had ever asked me if I've been listened to before or if I have listened. What a great idea. And it went on from there. And every get-together was special. And over the next few months, I found common ground and some important friendship. I know that many in the fellowship have been in many chalice circles and may be tired of them or have other commitments. You could also consider them to be community service. Perhaps there will be someone new to WOOF who wants to meet people and get to know the community. You could be that entree for them. I opened with a remark about community. Chalice circles facilitate community. I think everyone should be in one, and with people we don't know. I have grown very fond of the folks I've shared with in Chalice Circle the last couple years and would love to continue to hang with all of you. But I'm ready for some new faces and stories and lives. Just think of the stories we have to share. I just found out that one of our brothers here was at Berkeley at the beginning of the free speech movement, a foundational moment in my life. Who else do I get to meet? I'll close with a passage from Cahil Gibran from the Prophet. "And let your best be for your friend. For what is your friend that you should seek him with hours to kill? Seek him always with hours to live. For it is his to fill your need but not your emptiness. And in the sweetness of friendship, let there be laughter and sharing of pleasures. For in the dew of little things, the heart finds its morning and is refreshed." Thanks.
My name is Elisa Joaquin. My pronouns are she and her. But I don't use my pronouns when I'm dressed as Robin. What can I say about chalice circles? I have been part of chalice circles for 3 years. For me, chalice circles are a way to reflect and remember things in my past that I value. As before, what was spoken, there are specific questions to a theme. You may have not reflected on for years. One such series of questions were on joy. We were asked, what brings you joy? And to describe a specific time, you were joyful. There was also the question, what gets in the way of joy? These are thought-provoking questions that you may not have in a normal conversation. I'd like you to think about them. What brings you joy, and what gets in the way of joy? Really reflect on them. Usually, we would have a couple of minutes to reflect. But for now, we don't really have the time to do that. Even so, reflection plays a part, allowing time to think on the questions. Reflecting on those questions, I'm going to start with the second question first. When I think about what gets in the way of joy, I think about all the times I am too caught up in the negative, or when someone puts me in the middle of their drama. And that's all I can think about. Sometimes it takes me days to get out of, because it's a problem I think I have to solve. And even if it's not my problem, being put in the middle isn't a place I'd like to be. Having to take sides, it is uncomfortable and keeps me from seeing the joy and how I can bring joy. I don't want to stay too much on this question. I'm not here to resolve any issue. I'm just sharing. Now, I want to go back to that first question. What brings you and me joy? There are so many different answers to that question. But what brings me joy is seeing my daughter, the look on her face when I do something for her that brings her joy. That's what brings me true joy. It can often bring me to tears. And when I reflect back on those moments, they still can bring me to tears, and I can still feel the joy. And the fact that I can share that in a chalice circle means the group has learned a little more about me. Now, that you've had time to think about what brings you joy, you might want to share that with someone else. And the chalice circles is a perfect place to do that. But most of all, if you haven't done it lately, you might be inspired to bring joy to someone else. I hope you have a joyful day.
My name is Sue, and I have a reading, an intention for our community, my Martha Kerbo Capo. As we enter this shared sacred place, let us renew our commitment and our covenant. There are those among us who have endured a loss in the past week. May their hope be uplifted in this community of faith. May they find renewed strength. There are those among us who have wrestled with questions that seem to have no answer in this past week. May they find sanctuary in this community of faith. There are those among us who have cherished an unexpected joy in the past week. May their gladness be celebrated. As we commit to continue our free and responsible search for truth, may we covenant to honor the many paths that we have led us to this community. I invite you now to enter into a few moments of silence for prayer, meditation, or reflection, as may be your tradition.
I'm Thea Hart, and my pronouns are she, her. I've been a member of WOOF since January of 2019, and I've participated in chalice circles on three different occasions, always on a weekday evening since I work full-time. My first experience was in person and hosted at Barb's house in the spring of 2019. My wife Liz and I participated together, and we brought our then baby, Ursa, with us. He would sometimes cooperate and sleep in the adjoining bedroom, and sometimes he would need to be held and bounced. Everyone was very gracious in accepting our participation as parents of a young kid, and we found it a great way to get to know others in the WOOF community when we were brand new. And then a pandemic happened. So the next time I participated, it was on Zoom in the fall of 2020. Sharon was a longtime WOOF member and Chalice Circle facilitator, but it was her first time facilitating on Zoom. Like many people, I was working from home at that time and had lots of video call work meetings. So in some ways, it was hard to commit to even more screen time in the evenings after working all day. But I'm so glad I did. It was a unique time when I needed connection. Most recently, though, I participated in Gary's group on Zoom on Tuesday evenings this past spring. In each iteration, I've gotten to know people from WOOF in a deeper way than I could have otherwise. I really like co-creating a place together for reflecting on topics that matter. I like how the structure of the conversation really helps me to relax into my participation because I know what to expect. I like how when someone is speaking, the rest are listening deeply. I like having a chance to share what I'm thinking and feeling about the topic. One of my favorite Chalice Circle sessions this spring was on the topic of faith and connected to Reverend Tracy's sermon, Renewing Our Faith, Unitarian Universalism, Our Sources, and What We Have Faith In. One of the focused readings during this session was a quotation by Susan Salzberg. The word we tend to translate as faith from Pali, the language of the original Buddhist text, is sada. Its literal meaning is to place the heart upon, to offer one's heart. And one of the questions from that session was, what do you place your heart upon? What do you have faith in your life? I remember this session was particularly thought-provoking for me, and I really enjoyed getting to both share my perspective and hear from others about this topic in a small group setting where many of the other people also identified as humanists like me and for whom the idea of faith might not immediately resonate. I remember sharing how, while I don't often think in terms of faith, I liked the language of to place my heart upon. And I felt like I placed my heart upon many things. Relationships and community, the natural world, seeking new knowledge and learning new things, and the ethics of librarianship, my profession. I liked hearing from many others about their experiences of the natural world and drawing similarities between my experiences and theirs. That was meaningful for me in deepening my self-awareness and connecting with others. You are what you practice. I like participating in a chalice circle because it gives me an opportunity to practice skills that are important to me, like deep listening, reflection, making connections, and sharing my authentic self. But lately, I've been thinking about chalice circles in a different way, too. Earlier this month, I started participating in a free course on resilience skills. This is through the University of Pennsylvania. It's part of their Foundations of Positive Psychology series offered on Coursera. The focus is the foundational research in resilience. And one of the things I've learned so far is that the research points to several protective factors that make a person resilient. Some of these are optimism, gratitude, self-awareness, and connection, both to other people and to something bigger than yourself. like shared values, faith, or the natural world. To me, participation in a chalice circle is an opportunity to bolster these protective factors and be more resilient in the face of life's challenges. I've found the chalice circle experience very rewarding. If you've not yet participated, or it's been a while since you have, I hope you'll give it a try.
Hello again, everyone. My name's Sue Bodie. I'm a grateful member of WOOF, who has become more attached to its members through my ongoing participation in chalice circles over the past several years. My first one was facilitated by Barb Hansen at her wonderful home. It was a warm, welcoming experience when I was a newcomer. Learning the format, experiencing the luxury of being heard without interruption or criticism, being able to express my thoughts and feelings, some I had never voiced before, and really listening to the other participants without judgment was a profoundly rewarding experience. I was hooked, and I've taken part in chalice circles ever since. In those subsequent circles, we have explored issues that were always thought-provoking and allowed me to think about and express myself in ways that went beyond casual chatting. It is that aspect of chalice circles that I appreciate the most, going beyond my normal thoughts and exploring aloud what my values and feelings really are. Trust was one of our recent topics. We explored who we trust, how to trust, and whether we can trust each other with who we really are. I grew up in a family that had a lot of secrets, elephants in the room, so to speak, that nobody in the 50s, when I was growing up, had permission to talk about. Then I had a 30-year marriage in which my partner was on the autism spectrum, and again, I was discouraged from communicating about myself or even thinking that I had anything to say that was worthy. I recall a situation when my kids were young, when we were spending time with another family with kids, and I was asked what my favorite flower was. I was taken aback. I don't think anybody had ever asked me about my personal likes or dislikes. It was a revelation to me about my lack of awareness. I so deeply appreciate the Chalice Circle's encouragement to practice communication. So the communication encouraged in Chalice Circles is for me a truly wonderful and a fascinating exploration of my thoughts and opinions about interesting ideas. Listening to others do the same leads to such profound understanding of our similarities and differences that underpin friendships and fellowship, which I truly cherish. Awakening was another topic we explored. We've all heard about living in the now. Annie Lamott, a favorite author of mine, says, "Learn to live for those exquisite moments you are given." Hearing others share some of those moments in their own lives was such a rich experience. I continue to strive for full attention. It's a lifelong quest. It's such a habit to dwell on the past, what we did or said, and how it could have been or should have been, or to spend energy imagining the future, often catastrophizing, which is one of the habits I'm an expert at, or having expectations that we know deep down are unrealistic and will lead to deep disappointment. Being truly awake is our challenge in everyday life. Another reading from a Al-Anon group that I'm part of, awareness is so much better for me than closing out all feelings, shutting out people, and withdrawing from living. No matter how hard the truth is or what the facts are, I prefer to know and look at and accept this day. In another topic we explored was awakening to the earth, realizing the interconnectedness with all things. This can bring up fear and anguish for the suffering and pain of others, those both near and far away. It can lead us to social action, and WOOF does provide us with opportunities to be involved in such work. But mostly, in our chalice circle, we focused on the solace and relief and thanksgiving for the intricate aliveness of all nature. Most of us were able to share our true enjoyment of the natural world, the trees, the oceans, the landscapes we have enjoyed and continue to cherish. I'm reading a book about quantum physics, surprisingly. The Tao of Physics, an exploration of the parallels between modern physics and Eastern mysticism by Fritjof Capra. It is challenging me to keep focused on the wonder of the earth and awakening to all it has to offer us. For me, it has led to the daily practice of thankfulness for my life and the miracles that abound. Lastly, I want to talk about another topic we dwelled on, beauty in community. Rollo May, an author and psychologist, said, communication leads to community, that is, to understanding, intimacy, and mutual valuing. I believe that chalice circles do help build our community. Robert Fulghum, the author of All You Ever Need to Know You Learned in Kindergarten, says, the way you get meaning in your life is to devote yourself to loving others by loving your community. I can say, thanks to chalice circles, that there are lots of folks in this community that I have come to love through our mutual sharing. I hope to add many more to this group as time goes on. In conclusion, a quote by Brené Brown, a popular researcher and author whose first book was on vulnerability. True belonging is the spiritual practice of believing in and belonging to yourself so deeply that you can share your most authentic self with the world and find sacredness in being both part of something and standing alone in the wilderness. Let us all share more fully in the life of our WOOF community. Many thanks for listening, and especially to my Chalice Circle buddies.
Sometimes I'm right, and I can be wrong. My own beliefs are in my songs. Butcher, the baker, the drummer, and men. Makes no difference what group I'm in.
As a relatively new WOOF member, having joined the fold in early 2020, Chalice Circle has been invaluable in introducing me to members, in making at least 20 new friends, and in deepening relationships. It's a great place for anyone new to WOOF to get involved. Serving as a Chalice Circle facilitator has been an unexpected development. In mid-2020, after the pandemic terminated in-person WOOF activities, Reverend Tracy asked me to serve as a technical Zoom co-host supporting one of our facilitators, Sharon Fursick. It was a rewarding experience. It gave me a more in-depth look into planning and conducting these sessions. The depth, variety, and insights shared by participants were amazing. I was also comforted by the limits of my technical role, leaving the more challenging interpersonal aspects of facilitating up to Sharon. When the opportunity arose to become a full-fledged Chalice Circle facilitator myself, I was hesitant. As an agnostic humanist UU, I was occasionally uncomfortable with some Chalice Circle questions and how they were framed in more conventionally religious language. For example, how is it with your soul was not how I would choose to prompt check-ins. Despite my reservations, and because I was more concerned that this excellent program might disappear if enough members failed to volunteer, I decided to become a facilitator. Chalice Circle facilitators meet once per month with Reverend Tracy, an unexpected bonus to this program. Yet another forum in which to make new friends and to deepen relationships. Each month, facilitators learn from each other by sharing how their Chalice Circles are doing, what parts of the program they think are working, and where they are experiencing problems. We get an opportunity to reflect, brainstorm, and make changes. We also get an opportunity to serve as the studio test audience for Reverend Tracy's latest Chalice Circle guide. I continue to be impressed with how open she is to feedback, especially about the questions that she has drafted based upon our upcoming Sunday service monthly theme. Without a hint of ego, she listens intently to each of us, takes our feedback seriously, and readily makes changes, often on the spot. She demonstrates deep listening skills at their best. It's like a superpower. Before each of my own Chalice Circle sessions began, I almost always experienced cold feet. That loud internal voice in my head asked questions like, "What business do you have being a facilitator? Isn't there someone better suited to this?" I've come to accept these moments of self-doubt as positive anxiety that focus and prepare me to do well. Invariably, these feelings vanish after friendly faces start to pop up in our Zoom meeting space and we begin talking. Even though my self-doubts may be unfounded, I like the other effect that they have. They keep me humble. Occasionally, it is difficult to be both a facilitator and a participant. I remember one session in which I shared an experience that took place last December at the Immersive Van Gogh exhibit at the Oregon Convention Center. My wife, Elisa, our 22-year-old daughter, Lynn, and I had been looking forward to this exhibit for over a year. As you may know from Lynn's recent Time for All Ages story, she is dyslexic, so I was concerned about how this exhibit would present its content. Immediately after we began making our way through it, my heart sank. The very large exhibit panels telling the story of Van Gogh's turbulent life were written slightly above her reading level. Lynn's attention began to wander. Fortunately, I had an insight and began reading each panel aloud like a narrator. Social distancing prevented me from disturbing other exhibit goers and from looking too much like a lunatic. Lynn immediately perked up. Soon, Elisa, Lynn, and I took turns narrating panels. Lynn marveled not only at each story, but commented upon the colorful backgrounds of each panel, which were based upon Van Gogh's paintings. As we continued through the exhibit, her excitement and engagement continued to rise. This is what I had hoped for, that my incredibly talented and artistic daughter would be able to connect with this artist and to his work. Recounting the story brings back all of the deep emotion that I felt during Chalice Circle. We were all moved, an experience that turned out to be more commonplace as we took turns sharing our insights and life stories with each other. I do want to be clear that I am far from a finished product. The skill of deep listening without ego is challenging. I have not mastered it, if it is indeed possible to do so. I think that some of my lessons learned are making their way into my daily practice with Elisa. However, we still have moments where she has to remind me not to finish her sentences and to refrain from immediately jumping into the brief gaps in our conversations. I need to become more comfortable with the silences in between the words, to put more time and effort into understanding and less into being understood. It is so important to create and nurture space in which we feel safe to express ourselves. If what I have shared today sounds interesting, I encourage you to register for Chalice Circle. It's easy to do. Slide, please. This fall's Sunday service themes of belonging, courage, change, and wonder all look fascinating. Scanning the square QR code with your phone or clicking the link below it loads a simple registration form that takes mere moments to complete. I hope that we have inspired you to register for Chalice Circle this fall as a participant or a facilitator. You won't regret it.
Thank you all so much. It's just wonderful. I feel inspired and I want to sign up. So this is our community, and it holds a special place in our hearts, and it connects us to each other and to the broader world. Our relationships here at WOOF bring us opportunities for friendship and socialization when we're feeling alone and isolated. They bring us nurturing when we need a helping hand, someone who cares. And they bring us opportunities to provide that care for each other, to offer our hearts and our skills in ways that help to heal and strengthen our community. Our relationships also bring us learning, opportunities for growth, new ways to look at ourselves and be more vulnerable and honest. And that's just a start, for WOOF offers us opportunities to serve our broader community and world together. This is Donate the Basket Sunday. And for one Sunday during the months of July, August, and September, we'll be donating our offering to Wild Diversity. The WOOF community is known for its love of the natural world. So many of us find contentment, kinship, and belonging in the outdoors and the activities it provides. But it's not true for everyone. Wild Diversity is a Portland-based nonprofit whose mission is to create a personal connection to the outdoors for Black, Indigenous, all peoples of color, known as BIPOC, and the lesbian, gay, transgender, queer, two-spirit plus, known as LGBTQ2S+, communities through outdoor adventures and education. They do so through group adventures, including camping and kayak trips, developing the next outdoor leaders through their adventure guide program, and hosting community workshops like swim lessons and fire building. They create space in the outdoors for historically excluded communities to find a sense of belonging and to feel supported. Reading from their blog, "We believe that wild diversity is the future, that a world in which BIPOC and LGBTQ2S+ folks feel more connected to the outdoors. This is inherently a better world when this happens, one in which people are more aligned with the planet." You can learn more about Wild Diversity at wilddiversity.org. And as we pause, I invite you to take a breath and to reflect on the messages today and the gifts that we've received from this abundant earth and the generous spirit of this community. So I invite you to consider what it is that you have been given and what it is that you have been grateful for. Please consider the gifts you have to offer. Those of you who are here in person, there'll be a collection basket in the foyer after the service. And if you're watching on your screen, there'll be instructions of how to donate when Karen plays our interlude. Let us join in our affirmation of gratitude and giving. Let us be grateful when we are able to give, for many do not have that privilege. Let us be grateful for all those who share their gifts with us, for we are enriched by their giving. And let us be grateful even for our needs, so that we may learn from the generosity of others. Tia will now share our closing reading.
Our closing words are by Starhawk. We are all longing to go home to some place we have never been, a place half remembered and half envisioned. We can only catch glimpses of, from time to time, community. Somewhere there are people to whom we can speak with passion without having the words catch in our throats. Somewhere a circle of hands will open to receive us. Eyes will light up as we enter. Voices will celebrate with us whenever we come into our own power. Community means strength that joins our strength to do the work that needs to be done. Arms to hold us when we falter. A circle of healing. A circle of friends. Some place where we can be free. We extinguish this flame, but not the vision and compassion of our faith. May they stay with you until we meet again.